you talk about eating humble pie. Boy, did he eat humble pie. And then he had enough to actually give the testimony, and then God put it in the Bible. So, okay, we'll go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand these words. Help us to see the humbling experience that Nebuchadnezzar experienced, and help us to see the lesson that he learned from it, and that he gave this testimony. He probably didn't know he was going to put it in the Bible, but at least he did publicly record it for his nation. And for a king to do that, ooh, wow, that's something. Most of them cover things up and, you know, backpedal or try to cover it up or hide it or give vain excuses. And I just pray you'd help us to see the testimony that Nebuchadnezzar gave. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar is the king. He is a king of kings. He's the first official international king of the first worldwide kingdom that God established. And during that time span, Daniel was an advisor, as was his three friends. And Nebuchadnezzar experiences something pretty rough. We know that he had a dream, that dream is a prophecy about world kingdoms, but he had another dream. And this other dream, he remembered the dream, but he didn't know what the interpretation was. And this dream was going to be a complete humiliation of him. Okay, Ken? Just in our lifetime, you know, some of us, you know, if you go Trump and then back and Obama, you know, and then Bush and then Clinton, whenever any of these people had a scandal or something, especially Obama, he had scandals from day one all the way through. And Trump's been experiencing scams from day one all the way through. But when they have a scandal, I mean, they will go to great lengths to get themselves out of the mess. Even with Clinton, when he testified, it matter. He says, remember what he said? It depends what is. I mean, these guys that get high up, they're going to do anything they can to save face. Well, here's a guy that gets great humiliation, and then he publicly just says it in front of the people of his nation. Yeah, boy, I deserve that. Boy, did I learn something out of that. And so God honored him for that, and it is an honor that he put it in the Bible. Person says, yeah, but you don't want your bad laundry aired in the Bible. Hey, the guy learned a lesson from it. And so chapter 4, verse 1, we'll start reading down through it. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. When you see that, you think, oh, nice positive things, wonderful things. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He put me in a nut house for 7 years. And so then he says, how great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Okay, so that's his decree for this story that he's going to give. And then toward the end, he gives the lesson that he learns. So he picks up verse 4. So he says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid. And the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Okay, yep, that's right. Therefore made I a decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Now, the last time he did that, these guys didn't help at all. But again, he tries it again. Maybe he's thinking in his mind, okay, this one I remember, so they probably could help me out. So he, verse 7, then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. Okay, soothsayers as like a seance or whatever. And I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. So in his mind, he thought, okay, they didn't know what I dreamed last time. This they know, so they can figure it out. And a lot of people can read the English words of the Bible, but they don't get it because they don't want to get it. So then he, you guys failed again. So let's go back to the one that told me last time. So he said, but at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. These Gentiles, they are polytheists, but they do believe there's a supreme God. Okay, that's why in verse 2 he said, the high God. But he knew that the spirit of the high God, which they didn't know as a member of the Godhead, but he knew that the spirit was in him. A lot of people teach that the spirit came on them and then could come and go, which is partly true, but the spirit also would come in them, where in the New Testament we have the great promise that the spirit comes in the believer and will not leave. But under the Old Testament, he would. But under the Old Testament, they didn't know him to be God the Holy Ghost. The two words Holy Ghost, the first time are found, is in Matthew 1. So that's a New Testament idea. And then it says, before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I've seen and the interpretation thereof. Okay, thus were the visions of my head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong. The height thereof reached unto heaven. The sight thereof to the end of all the earth. So it is a dream, but there's a little bit of description going on here. The leaves thereof were fair, the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow on it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. Okay, so eventually we're going to get the interpretation, but to jump the gun here. The tree is his kingdom, and the fowls of heaven are spirits, or unclean spirits. So unclean spirits are working in the heaven, the atmosphere, prince of the power of the air, and they are the main influence on the kingdoms on earth. This is why they're called the kingdom of heaven, but yet it's the first heaven where these spirits are flying back and forth, and they are issuing out words or thoughts to Nancy Pelosi, to, you know, these guys, giving them thoughts of what they can do to try to get their way. And then these people think of the thought, and they think, oh, that's a good idea. And so then they act it out, okay? But they are getting these thoughts from spirits to influence or to, cover up this or get people looking at this, and they have an intent. But the fowls or the birds in the Bible are pictures of spirits. So this is the influence. I don't say they control people, but they definitely can influence them. So verse 13, I saw in a vision of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. Okay, we got an angel coming down. So God is going to bring judgment. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit, let the beast get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump. Okay, so the comment saying, boy, I'm stumped on this one. Of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass. So he's tying that around a stump. In the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart, okay, you see that he's portraying this tree, his heart, to be the king and or his kingdom. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. So this guy is, he's gone bonkers. He's got bats in the belfry. He's gone bird brain. He's gone cuckoo. You know, if we can read this spiritual heart of a lot of people in nut houses, we might see some of that is a spiritual judgment. Not all of it. Some of it's a chemical imbalance. Okay, but some of it just may be God judging somebody, humbling them. So in this case, it's a judgment of God. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the Holy One. So God ordered this to the intent that the living may know that the Most High, so there he says it, as a Gentile, ruleth in the kingdom of men. So the Most High is influencing kingdoms, and what determines the influence is often the people in the kingdom. So the people in the kingdom get what they, you know, you want to say deserve, which is hell, but yet they get the kind of leadership God wants them to get. And then it says, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. So the Lord God is influencing politically throughout kingdoms. And then usually, this is a normal, is a usual rule. And so this sets the Bible apart where he says, setteth up over it the basest of men. So usually, the historians will brag about these great people of the past, but God says these are some of the lowest scum you'll ever find that get to the top. The basest of men. Why is that? Well, they say that compromise is the lifeblood of politics. Since compromise is the lifeblood of politics, well, then these guys will compromise for anything to get to their position. Now, our country is very unique in that we have checks and balances, or at least are supposed to, the way it's supposed to work. You have three branches. And if you're in one branch, you cannot be a part of the other two. Okay, that's the way it's supposed to be. So if somebody's an attorney, that's supposed to be in the judicial branch, and they become a senator or a congressman, that's a legislative branch. They should give up all of their rights to be attorney. Unless there's a fake court under over here, which is actually what's going on. And so that's a checks and a balances, okay? So the founding fathers set that up wisely. They took a passage out of Isaiah 33:22, and because they feared a monarchy and abuse of a king, so that's why they set it up that way. And an executive order, a lot of times people don't understand executive orders. They only apply on federal territory. That's it. Anybody know who the first one that gave an executive order? Good old dishonest Abe. He's the first guy. And then he instituted income tax. First guy to do that without the vote of the people, we the people, by the people, for the people. Right. The basest of men. Abe Lincoln was a hardened atheist. Now, he might have got saved after his son died when he was in office. He might have got saved there, but he was pretty hard an atheist. Made fun of Christians. Wrote a satire against Christians. And a political friend said, you need to burn that satire. Burn it. He gave him a copy. He said, we're burning this. We're getting rid of it. This will ruin you politically. So the general rule is that the basest of men gets to the top. Okay, the exception would be King James. There's an exception to the rule. Bloody Mary, there's an obvious one. Wasn't Bloody Mary King James' mom? Anybody remember that? I thought it was, but I'm not sure. Okay, let's see, who else? Queen Elizabeth, there's an exception to the rule, but the vast majority is that we know that it's the basest of men. Okay, so verse 18. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. So he, very short dream. It says, "Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee." So who gives us the ability to interpret the Bible is the spirit of the holy God that's in us. He's the interpreter. Okay, now, Daniel, verse 19. Daniel was a friend of Nebuchadnezzar, obviously. So he said, "Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonied." It says astonied, we'd say astonished, for 1 hour. I do believe that he got the interpretation immediately, right when he was telling it, but he could see that this is not going to fare well for the king. And I don't think he reveled in saying it. And so he is hesitantly coming through here on this idea. His thoughts troubled him. And the king spake and said, "Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee." And Belteshazzar answered and said, "My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies." So then he starts giving the interpretation. "The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves are fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon the branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation." I would have thought he just would have easily said, "You know the tree? That's you." But he's kind of stretching this out, because I don't think he really wants to tell him, because it's not going to bid well for him. But, and then he said, "It is thou, O king." So there is a verse, if you want to try to get in your memory bank, where the "thou" is singular pronoun. It is thou, O king. "Thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth." So that's the narrative, that's the comment. "Whereas the king saw a watcher and the Holy One coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it. Leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let its proportion be with the beast of the field till 7 times pass over him." This is the interpretation. Notice he didn't say, "This is my interpretation. You might have your interpretation. This is my interpretation." "This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. That they..." Who's that? His enemies. "That they," his enemies. This right here would be the exact desire of Nancy Pelosi, Schumer, and that whole crowd. Really. That's their desire. It's a hate fest. Okay. "So they," that's his enemies, "shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee eat grass as oxen. And they shall wet thee with dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth to whomsoever he will." So there's the lesson one God wants them to get. So his enemies, so the kingdom is going to still be in play, and he's still the king, but his enemies are running the governing structures. So verse 26, "Whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule." Your kingdom is sure, but I'm going to take your brain from you for 7 years. You're going to get it back after 7 years, but during the 7-year time period, they're going to run you from one nut house to another. So in verse 27, "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be accepted unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. It if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Okay, so under the Old Testament covenant, notice he doesn't say repent of your sins. You know, accept Jesus into your heart. No, under the Old Testament covenant, he says you need to act righteously and you need to have mercy on the poor. And if you do that, by chance, God may have mercy on this. So in verse 28, evidently Nebuchadnezzar begins to do that. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. So evidently he behaved himself and started living righteously under the Old Testament covenant by fearing God, having mercy on the poor, for 12 months. So for 12 months. And in that time span, he's probably getting to a point where I wonder if Daniel read that right. I don't know. Maybe he didn't read that right. So this is the grace period. So at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built? Okay, there we go. There's the pride. What do you mean I have built? For the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty. A lot of times you go to big buildings or whatnot, you know, famous buildings, and I'll say, you know, built by so-and-so, some name. And I'll guarantee you, 99 times out of 100, whoever said it was built by didn't lift up one hammer, didn't do one cotton-picking thing, and all they did is they put his name on it. And if he would have grabbed a hammer, he would have grabbed it about halfway up and ting, 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 ting. Because they don't know how to build anything. Okay? But that's how man is. Man gives the credit to some big shot. You know, name the highway after so-and-so. You know, you go in any city, driving through the city, Martin Luther King Drive. Oh, it just drives me nuts when I see that. He's a communist. He was an avid communist. There we go, Martin Luther King Drive. I mean, but there it is. Didn't do anything to deserve it, not a thing. Okay, but this is how people are. So the king is, he is giving credit to himself, pride. So we see in that statement, my three times on this statement, giving all the credit to himself. And while he was saying that, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And then his brain rolled out his ear, and he became a nutcase. Years ago, I was part of a thing up at the big church where they was going to nursing homes, and I got this nursing home, but it turned out to be a nut house. And I'm looking, this guy showed me his bicycle where he's got a piece of wire and a stick in the middle, and he said, that's my gear shift. And I'm thinking, that ain't no gear shift, pal. And this guy was bragging about that bicycle, and he's probably 50-some years old, and I'm thinking, man, oh man, all the bats aren't in the belfry. There's some of them in him. And then I saw a kid 27 years old, and he had fried his brain on drugs. Just was gone. On drugs. And man, that was a weird place to be. I was kind of glad to get out of there. So, here's what happens in Nebi. In verse 32, they drive, and they, that's the enemy, shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. So they sent him in the back 40, give them grass to eat. Maybe that's the first health food, barley green, grass to eat, or something like that. Maybe that's what cured them. I don't know. Okay, so he's back there. Can you imagine if they give a tour of the White House of Babylon or, you know, the palace? As they're coming through the tour, they say, well, where's the king? We like to see the king. We like to see the king. So, they're, oh, okay, you got to come to the back 40. And there he is out there running on all fours. Nebi, come here, boy. Come here, Nebi. Come here. There's your king. 7 years that went on. So then it says, the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nail like bird claws. Is that like, is that cousin it? Cousin it on the Adams family? Cousin it, hairs all the way down? You know, and then his nails like bird's claws. That's a blessing. That's to scratch all the lice through all the hair. You know, so this is a real case. I mean, and that's their king. So, and Nebuchadnezzar is willing to give his testimony. That shows that he learned his lesson and he humbled himself. And you know, that can happen to virtually anybody. Maybe not to that extent. Okay, but the Lord tells us to humble ourselves, and that's better to do, to humble yourself, than for God to make you eat humble pie. Because when he gives you humble pie to eat, it's not one, you know, one fork at a time, you know. It's in your face, in your hair, all over the place. So it's much better to humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and let the Lord take care of it. So, O Nebuchadnezzar here. So 7 years go by, verse 34, and as he's out there chomping on a bale of hay, his senses return to him, kind of like the prodigal son, where he came to himself. And he said, and he's sitting there chewing on that, and all of a sudden the light came on. What am I doing? Am I crazy? You were. Now you're going to get some sense. So at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. So when a guy's understanding returns unto him, he does the right thing here. It says, I blessed the Most High. Notice he didn't get mad at him. When a kid gets mad at the punishment or the one executing the punishment, they haven't repented. They haven't humbled themselves. They haven't learned their lesson. So he says, I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. That's right. You got it. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. There we go. There's the right attitude. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. Okay, so that's the spirits, the angels, and the devils or spirits in the first heaven, the atmosphere. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand and say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom and mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. And as he got to his reasoning back, and he looks at his enemies, he said, okay, you're done, I'm done. 7 years done, I'm in charge. Okay, you're out of here. God wanted me to learn something. What God wanted him to learn is over there in chapter 4, verse 17. Okay, that's what God wanted to learn. So, in verse 37, here's what he learned. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, whose works are truth, and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. He learned a lesson. And you see, now he looks back on those 7 years, and in eternity, he would probably say, those 7 years were the best years of my life. That's where I learned a lesson. And thank God in his mercy that he showed me a lesson. If God would have let me be king and walk in my pride, I would have died and went to hell. See, and so he accepted it. And then God wrote it down in the Bible, and the Bible says, holy men of God spake as they moved by the Holy Ghost. And so I dare say that Nebuchadnezzar turned out to be a holy man. So that's pretty good testimony for him. Okay, so that's chapter 4. Pretty quick, we'll go through that. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words, and I do pray that you'd help us to see the testimony of this man. And Lord, when we have our inklings of pride and you bring a humble pie, help us to accept that, and so we don't have a big one. This is a big one. 7 years. This is a big, big one you put Nebuchadnezzar through. I guess the big dogs need a bigger hammer to come down on them. And I thank you for the testimony of this man. We appreciate it. We pray and ask that you'd help us to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. So if you decide to lift us up, that's your choice. In Jesus' name, amen.